God will take care of you, part 9. You say, well, preacher, why do you have so many parts? Number one, I'm not in a rush. I'm not trying to sell books. I'm not under a publisher's deadline. And I like to preach shorter sermons. And I like to be thorough. The Bible is so rich, it is a shame how so many preachers rush through it and run through it, and how many Christians read through it instead of let it go through them. We need more and more for the Word of God to go through us, and we need to apply what the Word of God says. God will take care of you, part 9. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 553, since January the 20th, 2017. And you are keeping up with these numbers correctly. Day 920, since January the 1st, 2016. Wow, how the days go by. Oh man, I tell you, God is amazing. Let's look at verse 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Lord, we cannot add anything to it, and nor should we. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would make it come alive, this ancient, glorious, holy text, and which is alive and well. And we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit and have it to break down hard and wicked hearts, revive consciences again, and open blinded eyes and deaf ears, chase away devils and demons, and save those who are lost, and revive those and encourage those who are saved and down in the dumps. The hopeless so-called Christians in the church today, some who are just a step away from taking their own lives. It is a sad state of affairs, and so Lord, I do pray and hope that you would come back quickly, because some are trying to get to you quickly in the wrong way. And so, Lord, let your will be done. Help those of us who are truly saved to always be looking for you at any time in the rapture. But help us to work until that day comes, sharing the gospel with others, staying faithful to you, and encouraging saints. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Everybody pray throughout the service. That is a commandment from the Lord through the Apostle Paul, to pray for the preacher. Paul said, pray for me that I may preach the word clearly, that God will give me utterance. And every preacher knows what utterance means. An amazing thing happens while a true born-again, truly called preacher is truly preaching. He may have his little sermon written down, but God does something so wonderful that is beyond amazing. And most preachers really can't even talk about it. because my God will tell you things that you have never heard before, you've never said before, you've never read before, you've never studied before in the preaching moment. And what an amazing thing that is. And when he does it every day, it is truly miraculous. Ladies and gentlemen, the white Pentecost said, you cannot serve the wrong master and be right and experience the peace of God in your life. You just can't do it. Your life is just going to be all jacked up. You're not going to have any peace. You're not going to have any happiness. You're not going to have any joy. And that's what's wrong, I believe, my beloved, in the church today. We have people in the church, I would venture to say over 50%, who are serving mammon, who are serving money, and they're trying to disguise it as serving God. Mr. Pentecost went on to say, when you pursue the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of the kingdom, and trust him to work out his perfect will in your life, you are delivered from slavery to things and from worry over them. Did you get that? Allow me to repeat that point in your hearing. When you pursue the righteousness of God in Christ and trust him to work out his perfect will in your life, you are delivered from the slavery to things and the worry over things. May God give us such a confidence in him, such a faith in him, that we will trust him and not worry. God will take care of you, which is the title of this series. Make no mistake about it, but you must seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Some Christians, so-called, are worried and they're concerned as to why God is not doing certain things for them. They don't need to look to God. They need to look at themselves and understand that they may not be doing what they should be doing. They are not seeking the kingdom of God. God is there. God is ready and willing to take care of you and take care of your needs and give you what you need and even some some good things that you desire. He'll do it. But you got to make sure you're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you might be the problem, and I assure you that God is not. So far in this series, ladies and gentlemen, we have learned four ways by which we can seek first the kingdom of God. We can pursue the kingdom of God through thinking about God and the things of God, meditating on the things of God, on the Word of God. There's no better way to seek God by seeking out His Word, reasoning through the Word of God. God said, come, let us reason together. That includes communicating with God, praying to God, talking to God, and I guarantee you, God will talk back to you. See, one of the reasons why people do not like to pray is because they know God will begin to speak to them. Amen, somebody. That's the reason why some people don't pray, because they have experienced God talking back to them. You start praying to God and you don't have the right attitude and spirit towards your father or your mother, your mother's face is going to come through your mind while you're trying to pray to him. Your father's face is going to come through your mind while you're trying to pray to God. And God is saying, what's up, God? God's going to be saying, you need to go back and get right with your father and get right with your mother. Or it might be a pastor, like it was in my case, my first real pastor. And God used him to be a part of leading me to the Lord and discipling me. And we got kind of crossways there before I left the Air Force many years ago. And I would try to pray. I was the great hotshot evangelist coming out of his church, and things were not right between us. And I would try to pray, and I didn't know what was the problem. I didn't know what was the problem. Every time I would try to pray, his name, his face would come in my mind. And I was trying to figure out what is going on here. And God said, you need to go back and get right with your pastor and get things right with your pastor. And I did that by the grace of God. And as they say, the rest is history. And you might need to do the same. See, God is not going to let you have this wonderful, glowing prayer time with him and you are not right with somebody, you're not right with your brother or your sister. He's going to bring that up. Debts that you owe, he's going to bring that up. Issues that you need to take care of, he's going to bring that up. Letters you need to write, he's going to bring that up. He's going to give you a to-do list, a divine to-do list. And people don't want to be told by God what to do. They just want to pray and ask God for blessings. And it doesn't work that way, my dear friend. You have to get your heart right with the Lord. Oftentimes, you're not even in fellowship with God, yet you still want to have a wonderful, glowing prayer time with the Lord. And he's going to say, no, you need to get that sin out of your life. That little boyfriend that you don't think anybody knows about, that little girlfriend around the corner that you think nobody knows about, these strange drugs that you're taking that you think nobody knows about, that knocks you out all day Saturday. So come and reason together with God, and God's going to tell you some things. And then finally, through inquiry, investigation. And let me back up here. Not only inquiry, but before that, reasoning through the Word of God by regular systematic Bible study. And finally, through inquiry, or acting on the truth that we have learned about the kingdom of God. Not only inquiry and investigation, but applying the Word of God to our lives. But if we are to live in the confidence, and I love that word, confidence, it's a wonderful thing. If you will, please do not get upset, but it's a wonderful thing, if you will, when faith moves over into confidence. My. When you're sold. You know God can and will come through. It's a beautiful thing to have not only faith in God, but confidence in God. Now you're in a position to move mountains and do big things for the glory of God. But if we are to live in the confidence that God will take care of us, and he will, and I'm in that space, I'm confident of that. He said, "Preacher, how do you know?" Because God has taken care of me by faith for 40 years. I remember days I had to get on a bike to go check the mail for our financial support, which was like 20 miles away because my car was broken down, and I had to go out and buy some little bike shorts and a bike bag to put on my back, and it went so far as bought me a little derby hat for the bike back in those days, and so nobody would know that I was going to check the mail for the money that was coming into the ministry so that we could eat and pay bills, psych the folks out on a bicycle. And they think, everybody thinking I'm just riding, getting exercise, which I badly needed. But I was using that as transportation to travel 20 miles to go check the mail. I'm here to tell you, and then get there, and one letter is in, one envelope is in the mail, and I would open it, and there'll be enough money to eat for 2 or 3 days. I'm here to tell you that God will take care of you. God will take care of us. There's no doubt about it. We must not only seek the kingdom of God, but we must also seek His righteousness. And I've touched on this already. If you want God to take care of you, you must put Him first. And God will not take, contrary to what little mean Christians think, God will not take anything less than that. God is somebody, and it is going to go His way, not our way. So what does this mean, seeking the kingdom of God and seeking His righteousness? The first thing to notice, ladies and gentlemen, about this command is that it is not to seek righteousness, but rather it is to seek God's righteousness. Most people, to some degree, seek righteousness, specifically their own self-righteousness. And they try and they try and they try to be good people. We hear a lot of talk about that now in the news. Oh, he's a good person. He's a kind person. He's a nice person. He's always treated people a certain way. But we all know that this is not true for most of us. We do thank God for those who have lived a better life than we have, and who seem to be good, or good-natured people, if you will. But we're all sinners. We all have done evil. My evil may not be your evil, but you're evil and I'm evil too. Just yesterday, Judge Kavanaugh was offended at the fact that one of the senators called him evil. And we know that the Democratic senator was wrong in his motives, no doubt, by calling him that. But none of us should be taken aback at somebody calling us evil, because we're all evil, aren't we? We all have sinned. We all have come short of the glory of God. My evil may not be your evil. Your evil may not be my evil, but we're all evil in our own way. These dear people, they try to do good and treat everybody right, and that's good. However, as Scripture informs us, in God's sight, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. you whatever you want to think of as filthy rags, you can. But the old preachers used to tell me that filthy rags refers to a woman's menstrual period that she used to catch all of that. That's how, if you will, nasty it was. Filthy rags. Useless. Nobody wants to clean their face with a filthy rag. Nobody wants to wash their hands with a filthy rag. Most of us, we don't even want to wash our hands after somebody else used a rag. And if you have good sense, you need to practice that. Some of us come out the bathroom, in the public bathroom, with our hands up in the air, using our bodies to open the door and close the door, because we don't want to touch the nasty handles full of germs. Some of us don't want to turn around and flush the toilet, but at the same time, in public bathrooms, but at the same time, people are concerned about these bathrooms that have no handles and they flush automatically. And they're convinced that somebody is looking at them through that little hole. Filthy rags, nastiness, useless, no good. They try to do good and treat everybody right, but their goodness is no good. Thus, the command to seek God's righteousness is not our own righteousness. And we have too many people, even in public office, looking down their nose at others, holier than thou, lying about how righteous and good and holy they are, and all their righteousness is as filthy rags. So how is God's righteousness defined? The Greek word translated as righteousness means being proper or right in the sense of being fully justified or being in accordance with what God requires. And God requires holiness and perfection. And the only somebody who did that, his name is Jesus. That's why he is worshipped by billions. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is the only perfect man who lived on this earth. His righteousness is what we need to be covered in. It is the quality of being upright. The word conveys the idea of conformity to a standard. That's God's standard, a holy standard. In this sense, righteousness is the opposite of sin, which is defined as missing the mark, which has been said millions of times, the mark set by God. Pursuing God's righteousness means yearning, desiring righteousness. How many of you deep down in your heart, you don't have to raise your hands, but deep down in your heart, deep down in your spirit, you yearn for righteousness. You desire righteousness in your life, in your own life. You desire holiness. Jesus even talked about that with the Sermon on the Mount. You know where that comes from? That only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God. If you are born again, if you are saved, then you'll have that kind of desire. If you're not born again, if you're not saved, here's a mark of being saved right here. Don't miss it. you're not going to have that desire for righteousness, that yearning for righteousness. God is the only one who can put that in you. You can't fake this. You can't pump this up. And so many people try to do that. Many church services begin with trying to pump people up when they have lived unrighteous lives all week long and have no desire for righteousness. Going to leave their Saturday night sin, go to church on Sunday morning and act righteous, and then go right back to their Sunday evening sin. Can't wait to get to it, and feel no compunction, no guilt whatsoever. Pursuing God's righteousness, ladies and gentlemen, means yearning, desiring, and striving, and earnestly desiring to please God in all things. And when we fail, we feel guilty, don't we? It grieves the Spirit of God, and it grieves us. And we don't like it. It's a painful experience. It's a painful thing. Pleasing man means very little, because men's standards are not on par with God's standards. Pursuing God's righteousness means being committed to sanctification and holy living, driven by Christ and a relationship with Christ, driven by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not anything that you pump up, that you dredge up, that you force, that you grit your teeth to do. It's got to be in you, placed in you by God Almighty through salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who gives you that yearning, that desire for righteousness. It means obeying the still small voice that tells us to do oftentimes the hard, uncomfortable, right things. It means being as near to God as possible in every way through Christ. If we are to be successful in this quest of seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we must sincerely and desperately desire it, and that must come from God Himself through Christ. It's not anything that we do. We get no credit whatsoever. It's not you. Now, you have to choose, because you are a free moral agent, to do what God is telling you to do, what the Holy Spirit of God is moving you to do. You can refuse. Otherwise, you would be a robot. You say, "Preacher, have you ever grieved the Spirit before with disobedience?" Yes, I have, and so have you. It's a terrible thing. But we need to be honest about it. And in fact, the more honest you are about it, the more God will forgive you and cleanse you and fill you again and prompt you to do the right thing. By the way, another mark of being saved is that you are honest before God. You're honest with yourself, and you're honest with others. If you don't have that desire, ladies and gentlemen, pray that God would save your soul and give you that desire. The people who desire righteousness are people who are truly born again, who are saved, who have been washed in the blood of Christ. You don't have to make them. You don't have to force them. It is the Holy Spirit of God driving them, leading them and helping them and giving them that desire. Ray Pritchard said, if you want righteousness, you can have it. Let me go out on a limb, he said, and make a bold statement. Whatever you want in the spiritual realm, you can have it. You can have if you want it badly enough. I don't think we appreciate the importance of that truth. Most of us are about as close to God now as we want to be. And that's a fact. Because God has not moved. Listen, God has never moved. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If there's something wrong where you don't have God's peace, you don't have God's joy, you don't have that desire to do the right thing again, you have probably quenched the Spirit of God and grieved the Spirit of God so much. You've seared your conscience with a hot iron. God has not moved. You have moved. That's why you feel like you're in the black and dark cold out there by yourself. Then you have removed yourself from the warmth of a Bible-believing local church. And that's a very dangerous thing, because most Christians need others to help them to stay right and strong and faithful. We have about as much joy as we want in our lives, he says, about as much peace as we want. Even the Jewish scholar Dennis Prager said, by choice, you can be as happy as you want to be. He said, we have many adults who act like children and choose not to be happy and choose not to be pleasant to be around. And if you're not pleasant to be around, then folks will not be around you for long, including your husband, including your wife, and including your children, and even your grandchildren, and then the dog might even run out the house from you as well. Now, he's lost and on his way to hell. I love Dennis Prager, but he's not saved. He's never trusted Christ as Savior. He's a Jew. But he's right about that. And that's what Pritchard is saying here. On the Christian side, most people don't have joy because they don't want joy. They don't want peace. They don't want to do what God has required of them to do, and so therefore they don't want it. God is not moved, but God has a standard, and it must be done His way. If you were hungry for something better from God, you could have it, he said. End of quote. The question for us is, how badly do we want God's righteousness? Are we desirous of His righteousness? Do we really want it? How badly do we want to be free from worry and anxiety? There are some people who love to worry and love to have anxiety. They don't feel like they're being a good father, a good mother, or a good human being, a business owner, if they don't worry about things and fret. How badly do we want to walk each day living in the kingdom and for the kingdom, seeking God's righteousness? Or is it just something you talk about but you don't mean? H.G. Bosch wrote, I walk life's path with worry, disturbed and quite unblessed, until I trusted Jesus. Now faith has given me rest. Has that happened to you yet? Have you positioned yourself or repositioned yourself to be all about the kingdom and God's righteousness? Just remember, it takes Christ to have his righteousness on you through the blood of Christ and his righteousness in you. You can't fake this. Those good, wonderful, great prompts you get, that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. When you have the idea to pass out a gospel pamphlet or to invite somebody to church or to witness to somebody, that is not you, that's God. Trust me when I tell you, that's not you. That's the Holy Spirit of God leading you. If you have a desire to take care of the children in the church, if you have a desire to teach a Sunday school class or a small group class, or if you have a desire to preach, that's not you. That's the Holy Spirit of God calling you and giving you that idea. So it's not about you, it's about him and his righteousness. His righteousness that he bestows upon you through the death, burial, and resurrection turns out to become something that is in you that plays itself out by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you will. Your righteousness, your good deeds, your good words are as filthy rags. Trust Christ as your Savior tonight and let him clothe you in his righteousness, and then let him through you live out his righteousness in a dying and lost world. So beloved, now if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your salvation from the curse and power of sin and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell, which, by the way, you can drop off into tonight if you never trust Christ as Savior. So first, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says very clearly in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin and unrighteousness and ungodliness every day and forever. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. And so hell is real. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad, painful, tormenting, dark, burning place. But the saddest aspect of hell, that once you go into the gates of hell, dear soul, you will never come back out. And because of that, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Some of you have life insurance that will not benefit you. It will benefit your wife, your children, and her new husband. It's not going to benefit you at all. And I'm telling you that you need to take out eternal life insurance that will benefit you. And that is, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the same Jesus who preached on hell, preached on how to get to heaven. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. So just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and get your soul saved from the power and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell. And get your life changed as well. And God will give you that desire for righteousness. If you're willing to trust Christ as your Savior tonight, I am willing to lead you in prayer. Someone led me in prayer so many years ago. It's called commonly the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He paid your sin debt. He suffered, bled, and died for you and for me, was buried and rose again, and now he's sitting at the right hand of God. And you can receive him into your heart, believing on him as Savior. Repeat after me. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I have fallen short of your holy mark, your mark of righteousness. I have broken your Ten Commandments by committing the unrighteous acts of lying, stealing, lusting after people and things, taking your holy name in vain, dishonoring my parents, disobeying my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. I realize that if I don't trust you as Savior, I am going to hell. And I understand that I deserve it. So Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul, as I now believe in you, and I believe that you died for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and help me to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is our prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.